That the spirit.
Well, right on. We are indeed getting into the spirit. And here's the spirit master himself, Peter Lynham. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Nice to hear your voice. Welcome back onto Monday Drive. What is the hot topic for today?
Well, I've been receiving a series of stories about the way in which religious charities are being, as are secular charities, being massively affected by the close down of US aid. And I thought that was worth exploring.
Okay. So, yeah. And so things are happening so thick and fast in the States. Unless you kind of got your Guardian notifications switched on or whatever, you don't. It's hard to keep up a little bit with the, you know, not just daily, but almost hourly kind of changes and things getting chopped and changed over there. So give us a little refresher on what's happened in that field.
So quite early in the regime, Trump accused USAID of fostering transgenders and sex changes and, I mean, in typical Trump fashion, a series of wild accusations, and it was fomenting communism. It was doing all of these things.
Right.
And so, astonishingly, he suspended the operation instantaneously and stopped the flow of money almost immediately. Now, that has been challenged in the court, especially for existing contracts where staff are currently employed and suddenly there's nobody to pay them. And there's some discussion going on about how on earth is it implemented and how do you check which project is which, especially when you have suspended all the staff. But effectively what we do know is that under Trump, the operations will no longer go through USAID, and I think that's what we need to focus on, because this is a gigantic scheme. It's interesting because I think people don't realize that quite a lot of our New Zealand aid money is handed over to existing charities, and they put in contracts or they bid for money under the various programs that the government delivers. And most of the money that New Zealand charities put in overseas, I mean, a fair proportion of it is government money, often supplementing money that comes from donors. And so, you know, it is really quite interesting. I mean, obviously, the religious charities in New Zealand, anyway, cannot get money for religiously focused aid, but they can often get money for both disaster relief and for development projects in the Pacific, which is where a lot of New Zealand aid is focused. Now, just multiply that out into the whole world, which is the scope of USAID, and you start to realize that it operates in exactly the same way. The two biggest charities in the USA are World Relief and World Vision. World Vision, we know from New Zealand. And they receive hundreds of millions of dollars, which, for example, in Africa, they pour money in for various projects, and they keep a separation between those that are the sorts of things that they do, say, for example, the child adoptions, those sorts of things, and the projects that are up for development aid. And see, for World Vision, apparently it's something like, it could be a half of their income.
Wow.
Is suddenly not there.
Oh my goodness, that's insane. And it's just, and, like, without really any kind of consideration about where that money was going, or really not really checking to see what it was for, just kind of
precisely
a punitive sort of sweeping
under
cut.
Under a vague allegation, which no doubt has some truth in some parts of the world where, for example, birth control measures seem a very good idea in some parts of the world. but all of it is cut off. So I know from talking to somebody at World Vision New Zealand that there have been in Sudan and in Ethiopia, they have had to dismiss, I think it's several hundred staff.
What?
Because they no longer have any money to pay them.
Wow.
And so what that means almost instantaneously is that support for the massive number of refugees from the war in Sudan and from the troubles in Ethiopia and the countries surrounding that, where there's massive famine, along with civil war, the worst combination you could possibly have, is that suddenly there is nothing. There may be a little bit. Eventually, no doubt, they will restructure and get it down to the scale at which they can afford from their donors to give. But the simple fact is that USAID, I know a lot of USAID money, it ends up as being military support for, you know, military desired preferential nations. We're going to keep friends with these particular people. It's an awkward thing because I don't think that money ever went through USAID. I think that went through the Defense Department's budget. But it was all counted up. And so the US obviously supports any number of dictators and thugs and the like that suit them. But it also has this huge, huge number of projects among the poor. And most of them are not contentious, even remotely, unless you're of the viewpoint that says that rich countries should do nothing for poor countries.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's, I suspect...
That's where we're going, though, isn't
deep,
it? That's what they want.
Deep down in the system, that is the attitude of the Trump administration.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting, and it's interesting as well to see people falling in line. You kind of just, sometimes you think, when this kind of thing happened at the top, you know, people would vocally sort of disagree, and you know, people in his workforce would say, no, we need to keep this or whatever. It really doesn't seem to be happening in the States at all for any of this stuff. Like, people are just falling in line and being like, yeah, okay, cool, siding with Russia sounds good. You know, it's so weird.
And it would appear that everybody is doing one of these instantaneous reads on the Trump psychology, which says you must flatter his vanity and undermine him in subversive ways so that he sees he's got no choice than to restore money. He doesn't seem to have any worry about changing his mind about issues.
No.
But he will not change his mind if forced. And Zelensky is the most obvious example, but not the only example of that kind of situation.
But it's even amazing how fast that's changed. You know, the Zelensky thing is
astonishing.
Possibly too
astonishing.
Late. You know,
and you see, one of the concerns is that the Ukraine situation is only one of a whole number of cases where, and Sri Lanka is a very obvious example, where civil war is always on the brink of breaking out.
Mm.
And that, in fact, doing something to lessen the sense of grievance or anger by filling empty stomachs actually is quite a useful method of maintaining the Pax Americana that we've become used to.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you notice that, I don't know whether you read, that the Brits, in reaction to all this situation, suddenly announced just after the Trump-Zelensky fiasco that they were suspending all civilian aid and transferring it all to the military budget.
What?
And that is quite scary, because what we're seeing then is a chain reaction whereby, especially for the European powers, but it'll happen in New Zealand as well, quite possibly, that the pressure will go on to say, we've got to increase military spending. Where do we get this money from?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's shave it off the aid budget. And, of course, in New Zealand, this would be catastrophic, because you've got a situation where any number of Pacific powers are getting very fed up with Australia and New Zealand. and looking to China.
Yeah.
And China, even though China is in an economic recession, they've
still got more money than we do.
A lot of cash.
Yeah.
And could easily move in, and is showing signs in the Cook Islands of moving in to at least supplement New Zealand aid at the moment, but pretty quickly to replace it, I suspect.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. You know, we don't often talk about good news on this segment, do we? But I think it's so important to kind of drag it out and have a look at it and inspect it, don't you? I think it's
yes.
Some crazy time.
I really do, and I wish I knew how we strategize to deal with it. But clearly, Winston Peters has a theory anyway.
Copy. I have a quick question. This week I saw that somewhere that the police are no longer going to be referring troubled young people to Man Up. Is that true or not? Yeah.
Yes. And so this is the very least that they could do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that the Destiny program Man Up does do some sort of giving a new purpose to people's lives, what it increasingly seems to be doing in yet the further intervention in the Wellington Pride March is to give them a sense of ferocious antagonism to the rest of the world and the community. And, I mean, even the police can see that this is not a very logical way in which to keep people out of trouble. There's got to be better routes than that.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen. Thank you very much for the chat, and look, we'll have a whole lot more to discuss next week, I'm sure. But thank you so much for getting in touch. And as always, I'm sure there'll be a flurry of text messages in both for and against what we've been discussing. So I'll be sure to read some of those out on air.
Very good.
Thank you, Peter.
Talk
to you soon.
Bye bye.
Right on. Okay. Well, we've got the news, surf, and weather coming up very shortly. But for now, hang on. For now, let's have a very appropriately